come before you today so grateful for worship this morning, so grateful for the cross, for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for the power that you give to us, the ability, the unction, the anointing to live this crucified, resurrected life in this life. We thank you, Father, for the grace that we have to do that. We thank you for the joy that we have in doing it. We thank you for the great benefits, the benefits of your fruit that come forth from our lives. Father, so grateful to be a part of the kingdom of God and the kingdom advancement in this day, in these days, in these end times, Lord. We are grateful. And we ask, Lord, that as we open scripture this morning and speak a little bit more today of resurrected life, that you'd be honored and glorified, and that we go from this place knowing that we've heard from you, knowing that we're empowered, knowing, Lord, that we can move from this place to reflect Jesus in all of his glory and all of his honor and all of his resurrection glory. And Father, we desire that today. We desire it. So come, Lord. Come. Move in us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel 37, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 12 this morning. And the question of today is, can these bones live? Can these bones live? You know, resurrection is a medical impossibility. It's a medical impossibility. That's what makes our faith so rich, so valuable. We believe that dead bones can live. Dead bones can come back to life. All because of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It just is. It's a medical impossibility. So when you come to this vision of resurrection, and by the way, when you open Old Testament is going to point to one thing and one thing alone, and that's Jesus Christ and his work. And you move through New Testament and it speaks and you see the fulfillment of Jesus. You see the fulfillment that Christ makes and moves through the fulfillment of Old Testament. And then when he's resurrected and he goes to live with the Father and he comes to send his Spirit in you, then what are we doing? We're doing the same thing that the Old Testament does. We're pointing to the living Christ. We're pointing to him as we live this life out. We're pointing to God. We're saying to the world, this is what Jesus does in a person's life. He transforms him. He transforms her. He transforms marriages. He transforms lives. He transforms sons and daughters. It's the pointing to God. The question that we ask is today in this very place, does your life point to the risen Savior? Does it point? Because some would say, hey, I know he's alive because he's living in my heart. And I would say, yes, that's true. But we know he lives because not only does he live in your heart, it shows. It speaks. Your life speaks of this resurrection. Can dead bones live? Notice the verse, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. Do you get the picture? This is a graveyard that hasn't been covered. Perhaps some battle from years gone by. But here's the thought, that at one point there was an army of people in this valley, and now they're dead. They weren't buried. And in this vision, they weren't buried, and this happened a long time ago. The bones are bleached. They're white. They're dry. That's the picture. And the Lord said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, put breath in you that you may come alive, and you will know that I'm the Lord. And so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. Behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And so he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may come to life. And so I prophesied, as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. And then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up. Our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'll open your graves. I'll cause you to come out of your graves. My people and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you will know that I'm the Lord when I've opened your graves and caused you to come out of your graves, my people. I will put my spirit within you and you will come to life. And I will place you on your own land, and then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. Can these bones live? Can these bones live? Do you believe in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ? That dead bones, by God's word, can and does come to life. And it looks different, and yet it looks the same for every one of us. It does. I want to tell you, Abraham believed that dead bones can live. Abraham believed it. Paul spoke of it in Romans chapter 4. Go on and turn there for just a moment. Romans chapter 4. Do you remember the promise to Abraham? I'm gonna make you heir of the world. Your seed is going to be heir of the world. And Abraham's problem was is that he had no seed. He had no child. No child had been born to him. And yet God continued to move, continued to meet him in desert places and says, I'm going to make you a great nation. Your seed's going to be great. Problem was, is that there was no seed. And Abraham was way too old, or Sarah especially was way too old to have a baby. Way past menopause. And yet God was making this impossible promise to him. Another medical impossibility. Your wife's going to conceive in old age. And somehow, he believed. Somehow, God, when God made covenant with him, and you can read all about it in Genesis, he believed. And as he believed, God worked and God moved, and she did have that baby. She did have Isaac in her old age. And what Paul says in Romans chapter 4, verse 16, for this reason it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who's the father of us all. As it's written, a father of many nations I've made you, in the presence of him whom he believed, even God. Watch this, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope, he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your seed be. Abraham, wife barren, and all of a sudden he's believing that God can call into existence that which does not exist. Abraham on the mountain, taking his son up, Isaac, the very promised child, moving up to sacrifice him before the Lord in an act of obedience, would believe with all of his heart that as he would give his son to this God of his, our God of ours, that somehow he would raise him up from the dead. Because he said it, my son and I will return back to you. Yes, he believed that dead bones can live. Matter of fact, that was Jesus' story. That was what Jesus was saying to his disciples. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be given over. I'm going to be given over to crucifixion, and I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise on the third day. That's the impossible word that he gave to his disciples. But somehow they forgot it. Somehow they forgot it. Let me say this. Dead bones can live. We are testimony of that when we came to Jesus and he put his spirit in us. And we began to live and we saw change. And if you're here today and Jesus is not in you and you want to see Jesus change your life, your marriage, your life, every area of your life, today can be your day to believe in the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to turn to Luke, if you would. Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. And I want us to look at these resurrection truths about dead bones living. Luke chapter 24. See, Jesus' disciples forgot that dead bones can live. They forgot what he said. And the angel is going to remind first the women who come, and then he's going to remind the men, the disciples. Notice verse 1, but on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Verse 4, while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living one among the dead? Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He's not here, but he's risen. Hey, remember how he spoke to you while he was still alive in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day, rise again. And then they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to the rest. And now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary and the mother of James, also the other women with them, were telling these things to the apostles. But verse 11 says, but these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. Hey men, believe your wives. Believe the ladies in your life. It appeared as nonsense. They forgot. But Peter got up, ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only, and they went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. Let me just say this. Number one, Jesus Christ is alive. It's why we worship today. Our God became flesh and dwelt among us and died on a cross 2,000 years ago and was resurrected on the third day, a medical impossibility. No other leader in this world, no other religious leader can attest to this. That's why Jesus is the only way to the Father. He is the perfect sacrifice. He is the perfect sacrifice that died, bore your sins on his body, bore your griefs, and washed you clean from your sins and forgave you. That's what he offers. He is the high priest that unites us with God, brings us together, and we do that by faith. And he is alive. Jesus is alive. So let me just say this. Number one, first resurrection truth, quit seeking life amongst what is or just could be death. Because that's what the world does. These folks, these women have forgotten what Jesus had said, and they walk to the tomb and they're going to the tomb. And what are they doing? They're bringing spices to seal the deal. It's done. Hope is lost in their minds. They're going to prepare the body. He is dead, and they have no clue because they don't remember what Jesus had said. There's no anticipation to the tomb. Wouldn't you think that the anticipation said, well, hey, he's going to rise on the third day. Let's go look. Matter of fact, we're going to get up really early for a prayer service, and we're going to watch for the tomb to come open. No. They bring those spices. to give him a proper burial. And that angels, those angels say, those dazzling angels, those men, they say, "Hey, why are you looking for the living one? The living one? Yes, why are you looking for the living one? In a cemetery. Don't you remember what he said? Don't you remember that he said that he would rise on the third day, and he is alive? And yet we seem to forget that. A lot of us in this life, we run hard after things. We're looking for the living one, and we don't even know that's what we're looking for. And we go to all the wrong places. We hear all the wrong voices. And we live our life. We live our life seeking the living one. That's what we're seeking for. And we didn't even know that's what we were seeking for. You know, when we look at this, when we look at life and we look at our own lives, think about it. Think about how the world looks for life. Through the party, through the crowd, through the carousing, through financial security and wealth, through alcohol and drugs, through immoral relationships, through career opportunities, which career opportunities may not be life, but they could be death if that's all we're looking for. Come up dead end with the peace and the life. We look for life through our children's successes, their lives, through our leisure, through our sports, through our hobbies. How often do we forget that life is found in the risen Lord, the living God? It is He that brings that joy. It is He that brings that life. It is He that brings the peace. So let's just say this today. I'm going to quit this Easter living life amongst what is or could be death. I'm going to seek Christ. I'm going to seek Him first for all the joy and all the peace and all the life. Nothing else in this life. Listen, it's not okay to celebrate your kids' successes. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's okay to have a career. It's okay to have a savings account and retirement account. Please hear what I'm saying here. But every one of us know that we can come to the end of it and realize it brought nothing but death because our priorities weren't right. We seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things are added unto us. It's Jesus first. We love Him first. We seek Him first, and we love Him most. That's the gospel. That's how we live it out. But we run after these things. And even those of us who have proclaimed Christ and have seen life change, it seems like we have this propensity to run back to the things that we think will satisfy, and only God can satisfy. Let me tell you this. When you look for life among that which is dead or could end up being death, you're on your way to death. Downward spiral. The resurrected life is what it's all about. That's the message from the grave. It's the empty tomb. It's the message in the Word. And that's why we must remember the Word. We quit seeking life amongst what is or could be death. And we remember what He says and we believe it. Jesus made it very clear. I will rise from the dead. The women didn't remember it. The disciples didn't remember it. These words became nonsense to them. And I'm just saying to you today and really encouraging you today, remember His Word. God gives life to the dead. He calls into being that which doesn't exist. He causes dead bones to live. And we see it in the resurrection of Christ. Because Jesus was dead. That body had no life in it. None whatsoever. And the power of God, the power of the resurrection came and moved in a mighty, mighty way. Yeah. Resurrection is a medical impossibility, but God says it so. Resurrection happens. Tweet that. It happens. I said it right this time. Resurrection happened. Resurrection happens. God fulfills His Word. Listen, when Jesus said, "I'm going to come back to life," the reason why they forgot, because they realized, listen, it's a medical impossibility for that to happen. I mean, it's just an impossibility. But you know, God's all about giving impossible words and coming along and fulfilling them. He does that all through Scripture. That's the story of the Bible. It's the story of the Word. And think about it for just a moment. Noah, go build an ark for the impossible flood in these impossible circumstances now, because everybody in this world is evil but you. That just is an utter impossibility, but yet what does he do? He spends 100 years building an ark because he believes the word. Moses, set my people free from impossible circumstances of Egypt. Joshua, defeat Jericho with an impossible strategy for victory. David, go slay Goliath, an impossible victory from man's point of view. Nehemiah, go build my wall in the midst of impossible confrontation. Mary, you'll bear a son in your virginity. Zacharias, you'll bear a son in your old age. Jesus, feed 5,000 men with a couple of loaves of bread and fish. Go show yourself to the priest and be cleansed of leprosy. Peter, come walk on the water to me. I will rise again. Dead bones come to life. Impossible words. Here's one that every child ought to hear, that every son, every daughter in the gospel presentation, Jesus doesn't give you a ticket to heaven. Jesus comes to conform you into Jesus, to his image. God comes to conform you. Now that's an impossible word. Because we're like Abraham. We look at our lives, we look at our flesh, something that's good is dead, but God calls into being that which doesn't exist, doesn't he? He gives life to dry bones. And I'm going to tell you, that ought to be the gospel presentation. Yes, there's salvation by faith, by grace, but let me tell you about the journey. The journey is that you increasingly become like him. Amen. That's good news, isn't it? You've been here any time, you've heard me say, listen, good news is not accepting Jesus and getting your head beat in the rest of your life to the grave. The good news is he comes and saves you abundantly and infinitely. This is what resurrection life is all about. That's what it's about when you came to the baptismal pool and you said to the world, I've been buried with Christ and I've been raised to walk in what? Newness of life with him. And I want to ask you, church, are you living that life today? Are you living it? Because it's available to you. It's available to you right now, right here. Resurrection power raises you from the dead. In this life, and in the life to come. Two resurrections. Let's look at the first one for just a moment. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, I want to say this just as you're turning. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 10. Just going to read them and just maybe make a couple of comments about them. But let me just say this. This is something that we're to share life with. The resurrected Christ. We share it with our lifestyle. We share it with our words. That's where we find meaning in life. That's why we don't have to chase the world to find what only God can fulfill, because you'll never find it apart from him. And so this is what he says happens to us. Chapter 2, verse 1. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Here, let me just tell you what this looks like. You are a corpse. You're a corpse in the funeral home. And you're laying there, display. And you know what? You couldn't see. You couldn't hear. You couldn't taste. There's just nothing. Why? Because we were just corpses. Couldn't see spiritually. Our eyes couldn't be open to it because we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Watch this. But God, being rich in his mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even while when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with him. By grace you've been saved. Watch, he raised you up with him and seated us with him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not as a result of works that no one may boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. The corpse in the funeral home, is no longer a corpse in the funeral home. Because when the resurrected Christ met you, you became new men and new women in the Lord Jesus Christ. Question, are you living like new men and new women? Is it affecting every area of your life? Is it affecting your marriage? Because we'll see in just a moment that resurrection power is to affect your marriage and your family. You may be here today and there may be no hope in your life. Maybe just like verse 12 and 13 of Ezekiel 37. Our hope is lost. It's washed up. We're like dry bones. But I have a God. We have a God that comes to prophesy over you. While you were dead in your trespasses and sin, He called you into being. He called you into existence. And you responded by grace, by faith through grace. That's the only way that it could have happened. That He spoke and you heard and you listened and you responded and you said, I believe that. I believe that. Do you remember when you believed? You believe that. And because of that, God calling you and you believing, you came to life. You came to life. And the promise is yes, I come to life, but then one day, if Jesus doesn't return in my lifetime, in your lifetime, we're going to die. And we are going to be a physical corpse. In the funeral home, church, or you may be in a little can. Cremated. But the promise is this, that on that day, He'll come back and you'll be resurrected to a new body, a new life. Hey, He talks about this in a way in Romans chapter 6. Go on and turn there. Romans chapter 6. Powerful passage of Scripture about your life and my life. Now, if we, verse 8, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. Verse 10, for the death he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Listen, look back at verse 5 for just a moment. For we have become united with him in the likeness of his death. Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. This whole thought of resurrection is pointing to the great day of resurrection, when we will rule and reign with new bodies forever. Why? Because at some point in history, the cross 2,000 years ago in the grave met you 2,000 years later, and you believed, and He raised you up with Him. Has that happened to you today? Has that happened in your life? Tell us about it. Well, not right here, but tell us about it. Talk about it. This is who God is. This is what God's done in my life. And I'm a new person. And you might have strayed, just like Justin said in his response. He said, you might have strayed, but listen, you can rededicate. You can do it, do whatever you call it. Rededicate, give your life, renew, come back to Him and live the resurrected life. And live the resurrected life. Resurrection power raises you from the dead. Resurrection power raises your marriage, your family to life. You know, sometimes I see this in marriages. You come and you say, it's dead, it's over. So we'll bring it to the courtroom and the judge to administer the last rites, just like the women did when they came to bury him. And we bring it to a judge and he says, yes, it's dead. And you get the paper that says, dead, it's no longer life. And I want to tell you that resurrection power can stop you right now, this very moment, no matter where you are, and raise it up for the glory of God. But our tendency in life is to give it the last rites. It's done and it's over. I'm going to say this. whatever circumstance, we're going to see this in just a minute, whatever it is, listen, it's not over until you're dead. And then it's a new beginning. A new beginning. What about family? To see the power of the resurrection raised up in your family, in your sons, in your daughters, in mamas and daddies, infusing life. Some of us, we want to look at our dads, so we want to look at our moms and say, it's over, it's done. Let's just give it the last rites and let's go on our way and don't give anything more to this thing. When God says, hey, I'll give life to it. I'll speak to the dead bones and say, come to life. Or that son or that daughter who's been running after the world and all hope is dried up. And God comes along and says, I want to breathe life into it. And guess what, Dad, Mom? I want to use you to breathe life into it. I want you to prophesy over it. I want you to speak into it. I want you to love into it. I want you to be a part of this. That's what our missions are about. It's us going to speak over dead bones all over the world. But you can do it in Walmart. Speaking life to see the resurrected power of Jesus come forth in our lives. Can these bones live? Yes, they can. Resurrection power is for your or our church life together. Church life. Yeah, I'm talking church life. You're a part of the body of Christ when you came to Christ. And I don't care what you say about where you can worship. I can worship God on the 18th hole under that tree. Well, yeah, you can, but you can't worship with the church of the living God there. You can't. And worship is something that's corporate. And I know that sometimes we get burned and sometimes we get hurt and there's disappointments and then there's no more a commitment. There's no longer active service. There's no more giving of your life. And you can't even get out of bed to get with the people of God. And when you come to God, you come to His body. You come to community. And that might be dead for you right now. It may be dry bones. But I want to say, God can today say, come to life. Come to life. Trust me again. You say, I just can't trust others anymore. Well, listen, that's not about trusting others. It's about trusting God first. The God who gives life to the dead. So that you and I together can fulfill life and walk and journey together. And you know, it may not be here at Cottonwood. It may not be this local body. But folks, resurrection power is for you and your involvement in church life. Resurrection power changes your circumstances. I know sometimes circumstances come and all of a sudden there's a death. There's a death of a ministry, or maybe death to your finances, or your future is uncertain. But I want to tell you, these bones can live. These bones can live because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Can these bones live? They did live. The empty tomb, His appearances to show it. But I want to tell you, life, Jesus is alive today. 2,000 years ago, came to life. And 2,000 years later, He's alive in you. Christ in you, watch this, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that right now? What is it that's dry and dead right now? What is it that you just feel like there's nothing? In a moment, we're going to sing our last song together. We're going to make this an invitation this Easter Sunday. Maybe you need to come to the altar and lay whatever down what you need to lay down. This powerful song that we'll end with today. We began with it this morning. What stone, what grave are you living in that the stone needs to be rolled away and God needs to say, come to life? Can these dead bones live? Yes, they can. Yes, they can. Resurrection happened. Resurrection happens. And this could be your day. When we start singing here in just a moment, we're going to open the altar up. And if you'd like to come down to this altar while we're singing, to make whatever commitment, to lay down whatever you need to lay down, maybe you just need faith today that whatever's dry and whatever's dead can come to life. And maybe that's what you do. You come to the altar and you say, God, I've just been unbelieving that the circumstances have been so hard. They've been so difficult. But this Easter Sunday, I'm going to put my hope in this. I'm going to put my faith in this. I'm going to put my life to it again. And I'm going to lay it down and I'm going to let you do whatever you need to do to breathe life into this situation. To breathe life into our family. To breathe hope for our future and our destiny. If you need somebody to talk to, we'll have some folks available. But don't let this Resurrection Sunday go by without joining with God's Word and agreeing these dead bones can live and will live, and they can live today. Oh, Father God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for Resurrection Sunday. I thank you for resurrected life. I thank you that these bones can live. And so I pray this morning that as we sing this song, that you will prophesy over that which is dead in our lives. Hey, there's some people, there's lots of us in here that we're alive today. We're alive, and that you've worked and that you've moved. And we're saying, God, may we be a part of that prophetic word called missions and evangelism to speak into people's lives, to see them come to life. But oh God, if we need faith today, I pray that you'd birth it this Easter Sunday, right now, right here. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We bless you, Lord. We thank you that that is what you desire today. And I pray that the words of this song today would bring us absolute total life. Come, Lord, visit us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.